This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to What the
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to What the Puck. It is the off season for the Washington Capitals. The NHL has only got a couple games left, but we're still here. We're still talking about hockey. Thank you for joining. Of course, you can download the show on Stitcher or iTunes completely for free right here from the Brando Cash Network. Enjoy your freedom of speech by hearing us talk. So, of course, joining me via Skype, we got Coach Dan Hayden. What's going on, man?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. We missed it last week. We had a lot going on, but we're here again. Let's start off like we always do, talking about what's going on with the Capitals. I know a lot of people right now, they're not really in like a hockey mood, but there are some moves going on with the Capitals. So what's going on with them?
Oh, we got a couple of things going on in Caps world. It looks like the Caps captain Alex Ovechkin was named the winner of the NHL's Hart Trophy, given to the league's MVP. This is actually his third Hart Trophy. Suck it, Crosby. Ovechkin actually came out and gave a lot of credit to Adam Oates, saying that he's helped to turn him around. I guess not so much give him his love of hockey back, but that he just gives him a lot of credit for sort of turning around what looked like his career was sort of going in the wrong direction at one point.
I want to talk about that real quick. The NHL, if you saw the actual announcement that Ovechkin won the award, I wasn't really happy with what the NHL did, because everything was about how bad Ovechkin was starting out this season. And they kind of changed their story around after they saw the tape message from Ovechkin. A lot of it was very negative before going into who actually was going to win the Hart. But you got to give credit to Ovi. I mean, really, he started in a new system without a training camp or a long enough training camp.
In a training week.
Yeah, pretty much. He had that. A new coach, new system, new position for him on the ice. And he still was able to take this team, and yeah, it did take a while. You know, we were very scared starting off this season with the way the Capitals were doing. They were the worst team in the league for a little while, but they were able to make it to the playoffs, given it wasn't as far as Caps fans would have hoped. But he still got the team to the playoffs, and everybody brings up those two nights in Winnipeg that really turned the team around. So, I mean, the NHL at least acknowledged it with giving him the Hart Trophy, him being the MVP, but a lot of the credit has to go to him, and like he said, to Oates as well, for turning this team around on a shortened season and a shortened training camp. So, Ovi, I think, fully deserves to be the MVP for the NHL, and I couldn't be happier that he got that award. So I say congrats to him. And there was a lot of hate that night on Tumblr and Twitter for Ovechkin saying he didn't deserve it, and Crosby should have gotten it for coming back from injury the way he did and everything. But Ovi, you know, you gotta, whether you like him or not, you have to give him credit for what he was able to do with this team in this season.
I mean, I think a lot of it, and you have to give credit to Ovechkin and his ability to sort of stick with it. I think there are a lot of athletes out there, not just necessarily hockey players, but there are a lot of athletes out there that wouldn't have taken the sort of problems that came along with this team early in the season, and they would have just sort of shut down and moped about it. But he kept at it. He kept doing his thing, and it seemed to work out in the end. I'm very excited for next season because, you know, with the way things are going towards the end of the season, regardless of the playoffs, they certainly were doing the right thing, and they were getting things together. I think they have add a couple of pieces to the roster, make a couple, just some changes, not a lot of changes, just a couple of changes. And I think that this team will do very well going forward, especially with Ovechkin. In other Caps news, and other, this should be another Russian news, I guess we should say, super prospect Yevgeny Kuznetsov actually came out recently and said he will be leaving the KHL after this season, after this upcoming season. I believe he said something along the lines of, there's not enough money to keep me in the KHL. It sounds like he has every intention of coming over and playing in the NHL, and likely with the Washington Capitals next season. I guess I'm very excited to see this guy play. I think he automatically jumps onto your second line, and if he can play well enough in the NHL, I think he could potentially jump up to their first line and play with Ovechkin and Backstrom, depending on where they want to play him. They may put him at center or potentially on the wing. No one really knows just yet. We'll have to see what he does next season and what they think he can do in the NHL. In Caps coaching news, Assistant coach Tim Hunter has been allowed to speak with other teams regarding coaching vacancies. I didn't really see this one coming. Yeah, it doesn't sound like he will be back. Hunter was actually in charge of fixing the penalty kill, which, as we remember, early last season was horrible. And then it actually came on decently, but it certainly sounds like he doesn't – or it certainly sounds like he will not be back next season. Although I believe he's allowed to talk to other teams until June 30th. So if like no one else hires him after June 30th, are the Caps going to awkwardly bring him back? Because that first meeting is going to just – that's one of those awkward situations. You sort of want to be a fly on the wall in that room to see how that whole thing goes. Nick Backstrom's name will actually be engraved on the – I don't know how to say this correctly, but the Gagarin Cup, the KHL's award for winning their league title. Can I say the Stanley Cup just sounds better as a name? Maybe just because it's easier to say, but I just kind of like that name better. Yeah. I believe Backstrom's name actually wasn't going to be on it, and then the fans went to the team saying they were very upset about it, so now he'll have his name on a cup, and I believe he has the ring for a team he only played so many games with.
Oh, so so he did get the ring. I thought it was he got his name on the cup.
Did he get the ring? I thought he was going to.
He probably did. The KHL really just wants those NHL players to play in the KHL and to shout their name and everything. But I thought like the original idea was, okay, we'll put his name on the cup since he played with us a little while, but he doesn't get a ring because he didn't get a certain amount. But I could be completely wrong about that. So
I don't know. Those crazy Russians.
Yeah, those KHLers are just strange.
Final little bit of Caps news here is they actually will be taking on former division rival, and this is weird to say, the Winnipeg Jets at the Kraft Hockeyville game on September 13th in the town of Stirling, Rawdon, Ontario. This town won a contest to host the preseason game as well as $100,000 to upgrade their arena. I thought that's actually pretty cool. I didn't even know this thing was – maybe we talked about this before, but the Kraft Hockeyville game, it sounds like they go around to random – towns that win a contest, they get money and the opportunity to host two NHL teams in a preseason game. That's actually a pretty cool thing.
I like that. That's kind of like the Capitals and the Bruins coming up to Baltimore next season. So I like the NHL that it's that they're reaching out to other towns. But a contest to get two NHL teams, that's pretty cool.
Now, I don't know how big this town is. I don't know if it's – like you compared it to Baltimore with the way I look at it. I think Baltimore's sort of a bigger city than probably what this is. So I don't know if I want to compare it sort of where I'm down here in Rockville. I think that's pretty cool. If you have like an area like that, that would be able to host these two NHL teams. I think in general, that's going to be a great thing for that city. They get the $100,000 to improve their arena, which I'm sure is going to help.
I wish Baltimore would
fans coming in to watch the game.
Yeah, I wish Baltimore got $100,000 to help that out.
To fix that arena for hockey, they're going to need a whole lot more than $100,000. Let me tell you that much. Because I was at that game, and oh boy.
Yeah.
I mean, the arena, it's kind of quaint. It's nice. It's kind of like going to, a game at RFK where it's kind of a quaint arena or stadium, but it's a dump. It's a piece of crap, and yeah. They definitely need something new going forward if they're going to keep having these hockey games up in Baltimore.
Quaint is a nice way of saying old and dirty, so...
Yeah, I think that works.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all of the Caps news from the past 2 weeks.
Although
I'm sure it's something.
There was one thing I wanted to bring up. Now, this isn't completely official, but supposedly Stephen Oleski let it drop that the Capitals Fan Fest that is usually at Kettler in July is going to be July 13th. Now, this was kind of like said, it was tweeted by somebody else that Oleski said it, but Oleski retweeted that. So all signs kind of point to July 13th being that Caps Fan Fest that people really enjoy. It's one of my favorite events the Capitals do in the summer. And if Oleski is the one giving out that date, it makes me think possibly Oleski is that one Capital that's actually signing autographs. 2 years ago, it was Matt Hendricks. Last year, it was Mike Ribeiro. So we might have Oleski as the guy who is who's signing autographs at the Fan Fest. But if you are a fan and you did go in there, it seems like the 13th may be the date for that Fan Fest. Nothing's official yet, but that's what we're hearing on Twitter.
Maybe we can catch him and ask him about that interview he said he would do and then never got back to you about.
That would be nice.
Steven!
Don't yell at him. Don't yell at him. He won't talk to us then.
Oh, now he won't ever come. That's all right. No one will come to the show.
All right, so that's all the Caps news I know of. You're the one that handled everything. I know a rumor of some kind. That's about it.
I mean, that's pretty much – it was just sort of Caps news. It's the off season right now. Everything's pretty quiet. I think once – The finals end, and I believe it's 2 days after the NHL finals end that teams can start buying out players. I think that's when things are going to start picking up, not just in Washington, but around the NHL. We're going to have a lot of news start picking up. We already have some news about some players that may be bought out, but we'll get into that a little later.
Yeah, I've seen a lot on Twitter. George McPhee thinks this is going to be a very big off season. There's going to be a lot of movement because there's so much going on right now. We're going to have the new ceiling for the teams, and they're going to have to make some big moves. There's going to be the buyouts. The NHL is going to be a very different looking place. A lot of different people wearing different colors than what you're used to seeing next season. So for us, this is going to be a lot of fun to report on coming up. So stick with us throughout the summer, and we'll still be working on it there. But should we get to what we've been teasing the last couple weeks now?
We'll finally get around to it.
We'll finally get around to doing it. People won't forget that we're doing it the night of recording or anything like that, because I definitely didn't do it. That was all Dan.
That never happened. I don't know what you're talking. That's crazy.
But all right, so the NHL gave out their awards for best MVP of the year and best defensive player of the year, best goaltender of the year. So Dan had the idea for What the Puck that we should do our own Capitals versions of that. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the What the Puck Capitals Awards.
Hockey, I pick Ben.
Everybody, welcome. Here we go. What the Puck Awards, best of the year, and that's what we're going to be talking about next. We have a few categories. Hopefully, you know who we're going to be talking about. But, Coach Dan, I'm going to let you kind of start this thing off. Let's start off with the Peter Bondra MVP of the year. Who is your MVP of the year?
All right, my Peter Bondra MVP of the year. It's a tough one this year with the way things sort of gone. I think there's the obvious choice because he won the Hart Trophy, but I'm going to go with somebody else. I'm going to give my MVP award to Braden Holtby. I think with the way things went at the beginning of the season, and as horrible as this team was, as painstakingly bad as they were at the beginning of the season, I'm giving my award to Holtby because during all of that, he was one of the only guys that was able to be sort of a rock on this team and in that. And he kept them in games that they had no business whatsoever being in. I think Holtby is my MVP for this past season.
Me, I got to go the boring route. And I got to go with the guy who won the Hart, Alex Ovechkin. I don't want to repeat myself. You know, I kind of said why I thought he was the MVP of the league. That's what I totally think with this team as well. Ovechkin really did turn this team around. He kind of took the weight of the team on his shoulders, and he did a lot of things he was not comfortable with. It was very obvious he did not want to make that switch on the wing, and he did it anyway. And he showed that as a leader, as a captain, he took the role and said, all right, I don't really know what you want me to do, but I'll do it, and I'm going to do it. And then he did succeed. It showed he really had trust in this new system and this new coach. And that's the most important thing, because with Dale Hunter and at the end of Bruce, Ovi didn't really trust his coach. But this really looks like everything seems to be working out right now with Oates and Ovi. They talk all the time. And Ovechkin, he's my pick for Peter Bondra MVP of the year. All right, so we can keep moving on. How about we do the Rod Langway Defensive Player of the Year? Coach Dan, who's your pick?
All right, my choice for the Rod Langway Defensive Player of the Year, I'm going to have to go with my buddy Carl Alzner. I don't actually know him, but I like to call him my buddy. Carl Alzner, I think he's my vote. He's one of those guys that you don't really hear much about him, and that's what makes him so good. He does go out there and take some shots, but you don't really see him as an offensive threat. He's a steady defensive player. He stays back in his zone. He covers the guys well, and even though he had to move and get moved to a different pairing away from his life partner in John Carlson, he still was able to be steady. I think he certainly helped out Mike Green. My Defensive Player of the Year award has to go to Carl Alzner.
For me, Rod Langway, Defensive Player of the Year, I got to give it to the most offensive Defensive Player of the Year, Mike Green, a guy who had a pretty good year this year. We always said when Mike Green is on, he's on, and when he's off, it affects the entire team, and that was the same this year. Yeah, he did have an injury or two keeping him off the ice, but when he's on the ice, he makes this team better. And in this shortened season, I think Mike Green really did a lot of great things on the defensive end. So for my pick, it's Mike Green. Your pick, Carl Alzner, two great defensemen on the Washington Capitals. Let's keep moving along. Let's go to the biggest surprise of the year. Who's the biggest surprise for you?
My biggest surprise of the year, I have to go with Eric Fehr. I think this is a guy that I called that they were going to going to resign. And I'm going to keep talking about that. And then I think no one's really expecting much from me. A one-year deal at something like 600K, 700K, something like that. I think he came out of nowhere to do a great job coming back to this team. I think he settled in nicely on the fourth line and then on the third line. I think he's a great job for this team. I love that they re-signed him. I think if he could stay healthy, that's the biggest thing about his career, is that he has not been able to stay healthy. He's had shoulder problems for a long time. I think if he can stay healthy, he is a very solid person to have on that third line right wing spot. I love having him on this team. Eric Fair is my surprise of the year.
For me, surprise of the year, this is going to be no surprise because I don't stop talking about this guy. Steven Oleski, of course, surprise
That's
of the year.
Boy.
He's my boy. You know, Carl Alsner's your boy. He's your buddy. Steven Oleski's my boy. The guy came up from Hershey. He was an older player. A lot of people said that he was never going to leave that AHL level, but he came up to the NHL, and dude, in the first week, got points galore. He got a goal. He got a fight. He's one of those hockey players that are legends are made of. He's a tough guy. He never says quit, and I didn't know anything about Steven Oleski, and until I saw him on the NHL level, I didn't really see a lot of him with the Hershey Bears. But once he was up here in the main leagues, you could tell why they called him up and why they're keeping him up here. The guy's tough. He's gritty. He's everything you want in a Capital, and I'm happy to that he's my surprise of the year. Biggest surprise of the year from Oleski, though, is his nickname, because Binky does not fit Steven Oleski at all, but I'm sure there's a story behind that. So let's move on and let's do some of the funny stuff that we thought were kind of great. Not really funny for this one, but biggest disappointment of the year. What player was the guy that you're like, this guy could really bring something to the team, and then he kind of fizzled out and nothing really happened? So who was your biggest disappointment of the year?
See, now this one's a little difficult. At least, not so difficult as it just doesn't really – let me try that whole sentence again. This was a little difficult to say because he signed a one-year deal at something like 700K, so it wasn't exactly a big surprise. It was a sort of a low-risk, high-reward kind of thing. But my biggest disappointment of the year is Wojtek Wolski. I really expected a lot more from this guy. I thought he would have worked out a lot better with Osa's system, and it turned out he just wasn't going to work out. He ended up not playing a lot towards the end of the season. I don't believe he played at all. Maybe he played one game, something like that, in the playoffs. I really was hoping for a lot more from him, and in the end, he just did not bring his game. And I believe he's actually already signed with a team over in the KHL or in Sweden, something like that. My biggest disappointment of the year is Wojtek Wolski.
My biggest disappointment of the year, it's actually two guys. You actually brought them up earlier. I have to go with Karlsner. I have to say that the pairing of Carl Alsner and John Carlson was money last season, and these guys work great together, and they were a winning combination on defense. This year they paired them up together and it just wasn't there, and it was very upsetting to see these guys not work together anymore. But it was a problem, sure, at the beginning, but once I like the fact that both guys are like, listen, you got to split us up. This isn't working right now. We need to move on, and you need to pair us with different guys. And they got it figured out. But as a fan, as a guy who loves seeing these guys work together, it really saddened me that I could not see both of these guys working together anymore. So that was a big disappointment for me. And this might be the shock of the night for biggest disappointment, I got to guess.
That was a good one. I didn't see that coming.
See, I did the Steven Oleski surprise of the year. Everyone knew it.
That was good. That was the surprise of the year is your biggest disappointment of the year.
All right, so let's go on to the next one. This is the Jaromir Jagr biggest waste of cap space of the year. Who wasted the most space of the year?
Can I just say that your title for this was your idea of calling it the Jaromir Jagr. I thought that was actually pretty funny. But anyways, my Jaromir Jagr biggest waste of cap, this is the longest title ever. Biggest waste of cap space of the year. It's got to go to Jeff Schultz. This guy's got a cap hit of something like $2.75 million, and all of that money was sitting up in the press box most nights, especially in the playoffs. I don't see any way that he'll be back on this team next season. He's actually already come out and asked for a trade. I believe he did so back in March. It certainly sounds like Jeff Schultz will be playing for someone else next season. He is my biggest waste of cap space of the year.
For me, I got to say my biggest waste of cap space has to go to a guy that I wasn't a big fan of last season, wasn't a big fan of this season. He's an older guy that the Capitals actually traded, but I have to give it to Roman Hamrlik. He was a guy that luckily the Caps put out there. He was picked up by the Rangers, but I didn't like the fact that he was taking a spot up on this team, and a lot of nights he was just sitting up in the press box. But when he played, I always saw him as a liability. So I'm happy to see that Roman Hamrick moved away from the Capitals, but he was my biggest waste of cap space for the Capitals this year. Now let's go on to guys that really didn't take up any cap space because they're not even a full-time Capital yet. Let's go to the Baltimore Skipjack Prospect of the Year. Who is your Prospect of the Year?
My Skipjack Prospect of the Year is going to go to Riley Barber. This guy was picked 167th overall. That means NHL teams thought there were 166 players better than him in the 2012 NHL draft. Washington Capitals then had the opportunity to select him. I think his stock has gone way up after his performance for Team USA in the World Juniors. I expect this guy to make his mark on the Washington Capitals maybe another year or two before he may have an opportunity. We may see him playing at some point for Hershey and then making his way up to Washington in the near future. My Skipjack Prospect of the Year for 2012 is Riley Barber.
Very nice pick. He did show up great in the World Juniors. Originally, I was going to say Sergei Kostenko, but looking into it, the guy only played 3 games for the Royals. I was going to give him credit for having an injury, staying in the U.S., even though he didn't know any English at all, and playing a few games in Reading, but he's already left, so even though he is a prospect for the Capitals, I just want to give him an honorable mention for at least having the balls to come over here at 20 years old without knowing the language just to play some hockey, but anyway, my official Skipjack Prospect of the Year, I might be breaking the rules by picking this guy, but I got to give it up to Tom Wilson. He was a guy that was a prospect. He played for the Whalers, the Plymouth Whalers. He went into the playoffs with them, played a game with the Hershey Bears, and then out of nowhere, something I don't think anyone expected, even though I did call it, you didn't believe me, he played for the Capitals in the Stanley Cup playoffs, which it was just shocking. The fact that he would go from a prospect to the minor leagues, to the AHL, to the NHL, all within 1 year, pretty amazing stuff for a prospect. So we'll see where this guy lands next year. But for me, Prospect of the Year has to go to Tom Wilson for all of those mountains that he was able to climb and get over. All right, now for the big one of the night, ladies and gentlemen, our last award. Now, unlike the Academy Awards, we're not going over time. We don't really have a time limit, but we're not going to 4 hours. This is our last award of the night. It's the Holy Jumpin' Goal of the Year.
Holy Jumpin', you have got to be kidding me.
Coach Dan, what's your pick?
Now, I will not be quite as excited as you just did, unfortunately, but I have to give my Holy Jumpin' Goal of the Year to Eric Fair in his ridiculous overtime winning goal on March 5th over the Boston Bruins.
As the Caps wind up with momentum through center, there's Backstrom. In space for Fair. Tiptoes in and scores! A sensational finish! Eric Fair wins it for Washington.
Where he got that nice pass from Nicholas Backstrom, went in between two Boston defenders, and was able to roof the puck over, I believe, Tuukka Rask. I thought that was the best goal of the year we've seen from this team, especially from this guy. My biggest surprise of the year and my goal of the year go to Eric Fair.
Congrats to Eric Fair. Big year for that guy here on What the Puck. We're both big fans of him. For me, it's going to a guy I don't think anyone is going to believe is getting goal of the year. Ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Jumpin' Goal of the Year for my pick goes to Mr. John Erskine. That's right, John Erskine, whose goal he called himself a muffin, has to go to him. It was early on in the season. It was looking dark. It was looking gray. The skies were not pretty for the Capitals. They were in last place, and we were looking for our first win of the season. And in a game against Buffalo, in a shortened season, John Erskine comes out and he gets a goal off the point out of nowhere. I don't think anyone expected John Erskine to be the one to get this goal, but John Erskine puts this puck into the net, and when he comes out afterwards, he says, it was a nice little muffin, you know, it was a nice little one, was able to shoot off the point, so he was very, very chill about it.
Chimera from zero angle drilled it wide. Joel Ward, who has the strike for Washington, plays it on top for Erskine. Screen develops. Score! A shot that started low and found the roof. Nice
nothing better than a hockey smile from John Erskine.
That game really changed a lot of people because it was an actual win. I mean, we weren't really used to it this year.
That does help, yes.
Yeah, but John Erskine was a guy that you could count on to do a lot of things for the Capitals. He's a good defenseman, but he can still get those little muffins when he needs to. So, goal of the year, unexpected, shock of the year, possibly. John Erskine's the winner for me.
See, now I thought you were going to mention the goal against Florida, the game that I was at where they won like 7-1 or 7-2 or something like that, where he just kind of threw it out on net, was like, bah, screw it, and he just threw it on the net and it went in. He was, all right, I guess that counts. But yeah, that goal against Buffalo was also a fantastic goal.
That was a good one. So, ladies and gentlemen, that was the What the Puck Capitals Awards for this year. Let us know, you know, tweet to us both at Brando Cash, at WTP Coach Dan. Let us know who your picks are. Do you agree with us? Do you disagree with us? Let us know either way, and we'll talk about it next time on the show. So, is that pretty much it for Caps News this week?
That's pretty much it this week.
All right, well, we still got stuff going on. Let's go up 83. Let's talk Hershey Bears and Reading Royals. All right, some big news really broke out of Hershey this past week. It seems there's a new guy in charge of this team. Coach Dan, tell us all about it.
Hershey, after not bringing back Mark French, actually came out and announced that they have hired Mike Haviland as the next head coach of the Bears. Interestingly enough, Haviland interviewed for the Caps head coaching job last season before they went with Adam Oates. Nice little connection there, but Haviland will be taking over a Bears team that I think was actually pretty disappointing last season. Yes, they made it into the playoffs, but they didn't have a great playoff run. I believe getting knocked out in the first round by, was it Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, Baby Penn, something like that. Mm-hmm. So hopefully this guy can go and take this team, put them back where they belong, on top of the AHL.
Anything else going on in Hershey or Reading?
That's pretty much going on in Hershey. I think Reading is still sort of hungover from their Kelly Cup victory.
It takes a little while to get over it, but, you know, good for them. So that's pretty much it. Let's keep going. Let's talk a little bit more hockey. The NHL still in full swing with the Stanley Cup Finals. So let's go around the NHL. All right, well, we've got a pretty crazy series going on between Boston and the Blackhawks, Chicago. Coach Dan, who are you? The game's going on right now as we're recording. Even though the Blackhawks are leading right now, for this entire series, who have you seen getting the upper hand so far?
Well, initially I would have said, well, I think initially everybody would have said Boston after they came out in game one and were dominating. Chicago fought their way back and were able to win in overtime. And then Boston just took over the rest of the series. But it looks like tonight things have changed. I think with the way things are going, unless Boston has a freak comeback, which, let's be honest, could possibly happen. It certainly looks like the series is going to be tied up 2-2 going forward. It's going to be tough to say who I think is going to win in the end. I think Chicago has a better offensive game, to be perfectly honest. But I think Boston has just – physically, they're almost unbeatable. I think Rask is playing out of his mind. I think in the end, it's going to come down to the goalies. I think Rask is playing better than Corey Crawford right now. And my guess is your 2013 NHL Stanley Cup champions in the end will be your team, the Boston Bruins.
Wow, you're switching sides on me, man.
It's not so much sides. It's just the way that they've been playing right now. Now, this is certainly going another way, and I may have just sort of cost the Bruins their opportunity. I think with the way these teams have been playing and the way Rask has been playing, I always thought Rask was a good goalie. I never thought he was this good of a goalie. But I think with the way he's been playing and as dominant as he is, even though tonight's game he hasn't looked that great, I do think he's playing better than Crawford. I think in the end that his goaltending is going to be able to help whatever problems that Boston may have along the way. And I don't think Chicago will be able to overcome him. I do think that the Boston Bruins are going to win the Stanley Cup.
That's what I want to see. I've said it before, said it a million times. When the Caps are out, Boston is my other team. They just got another goal. They're getting even closer. It's now.
Yeah, I just saw that. I was like, uh-oh, man. It's getting interesting.
It's now 4-3. Rask is playing unbelievable. But it's not saying – can't say anything bad about the Blackhawks, though. The Blackhawks are also playing a great game. This truly is the best teams in the NHL playing. It's not like somebody got here because of luck or anything like that. These guys both are playing amazing hockey. Game one, I gotta say, I stayed up as long as I could. I fell
game one and game two was the way that game went. We're actually playing game five right now.
Pretty much that's what it is. Three overtimes it took to finally get that end. That shows you how much both these teams wanted. But game one really was a ton of fun to watch. And from what I understand, that was the highest rated Stanley Cup final since 1997. So even the casual fans are getting into this series, and it's really fun to see, especially as a hockey player. I'm hoping open, and I think the Bruins are still going to win it. We'll see what happens. I do want to bring up Jágr, though. Yeah, we were giving Jágr some hard times during the awards for the Capitals, but he's really playing very well for the Bruins right now. And that guy, man, he wants a goal like crazy. You could tell in game 2 and 3, he was just shooting everything he could. He's really trying to get there. I think, you know, he knows this is probably one of his last Stanley Cup finals, Stanley Cup runs, really. So if he doesn't get the cup now, he may never get it. So he's playing like he's never going to get that cup again. So you need to see that type of thing. So the Bruins, I think, are going to be able to win it, and hopefully these guys the series keeps going on. I think it'll go till 7. I know you're not a wrestling fan, but I keep bringing up wrestling, and Adam Vingan, I hope, is listening, and I hope he knows because he's a big wrestling fan as well. But it was pretty cool. The wrestler I keep bringing up, who's from Chicago, CM Punk, they had a big pay-per-view this past weekend in Chicago, and he made his return to the ring. He actually was wearing Black Hawk-inspired wrestling trunks. He had the C with the tomahawks on his trunks and his boots, and right before he hits his finisher, he just screams, "Hawks in 7." So, just me personally, I just say I love seeing the crossover from hockey to wrestling and vice versa, you know, and it's a ton of fun to watch, and it's great fun to see other hockey fans out there in the world getting behind their teams. So this Stanley Cup Finals, it's fun. I wish it was the Capitals right now instead of the Bruins, but this is really fun. We didn't talk about this. We didn't plan this. This really literally just popped into my head. I remember you putting out a tweet, I think it was after game one, and you said seeing the Blackhawks and the Bruins in this game makes me wonder, will the Capitals ever make it? Could they make it against one of these teams? Do you think that the Capitals could defeat the Hawks or the Bruins in a Stanley Cup final with the way these games are going? Or do you think that the Capitals are still a little ways away from being a team like one of these guys?
Well, I do think the Caps are a little ways away, and how far it sort of depends. But I think any team can sort of steal a series and potentially an entire playoffs just based solely on their goaltending. I mean, we saw that last year to some extent with Jonathan Quick out in L.A., and I think Rask is sort of doing that thing tonight. But I do think Boston has a solid team. I think the Caps still have a couple of little holes that they need to fill. And I think if they can fill those holes, both on defense and on offense, that they certainly have a good chance. I don't think they're a bad team by any means, and I think this past season was not a great representation of how this team will be playing in the future with Adam Oates. I think this team is more like the team we saw at the end of the regular season, not like the team we saw in the playoffs. I think they still have a little bit to learn. I do think that the Caps could beat Boston or Chicago in the playoffs, provided they make the correct moves going forward.
I agree with you, because after I saw that tweet, it really made me think. Like, these teams really, I mean, they played 2 full games in game one. They played regular, and then they went 3 overtime. Could the Capitals last that long? Because it seems like the Capitals get kind of fatigued very easily, and it kind of is like, well, we're not going to win this one. We got 6 more games we could play, so we can kind of, you know, we don't have to do everything tonight. It seems like the Capitals, like you said, aren't really they do have some holes. It seems like both the Blackhawks and the Bruins both have great goaltending, great offense, great defense, and they have a lot of drive going after them. And the Capitals, I don't want to say they lack drive or anything like that. They definitely don't. But, I think that you need to have a full team. It can't be just one guy like Ovechkin or Holtby holding up everybody else. Everyone's got to do their equal part, and I think both these teams are doing that right now. So hopefully under this Oates system, it seems like it's going to work for the captain, at least of the Capitals. Like, this Oates system will be the answer for the Capitals' Stanley Cup wishes. So anyway, got sidetracked. I apologize. Let's keep going on with some NHL news.
All right, let's start off with the actual NHL awards, not our awards that were – ours are a lot more fun, let me be honest. But, yeah, in regular NHL awards, we already announced that the Hart Trophy winner was the Caps' own Alexander Ovechkin. The Vezina went to Columbus's Sergei Bobrovsky. I thought that was a well-deserved award for him after his amazing season with Columbus. The Norris Trophy to the league's top defenseman went to Montreal's P.K. Subban. Too bad he's still a goofball. The Calder, the top rookie of the year, went to Florida's Jonathan Huberdeau, which I think was well earned. This is an interesting part. The Ted Lindsay Award, which I believe is the award that is voted on by the players, as the top NHL player went to Pittsburgh's Sidney Crosby, which I thought was rather interesting considering Ovechkin won the MVP, which was voted on by the writers. The Selke Award went to Chicago's Jonathan Taves. The Jack Adams went to Ottawa's Paul McLean. The Lady Bing went to Tampa's Martin St. Louis. And the Bill Masterton went to Minnesota's Josh Harding. There's a lot of players who ended up getting re-signed or having extensions announced, as well as a couple of coaches. Pittsburgh re-signed Yevgeny Malkin to an 8-year extension worth a total of $76 million.
Woo!
That's a lot of money. Pittsburgh also announced that they have signed head coach Dan Bylsma to a 2-year extension. I know after Pittsburgh got knocked out, people were thinking that Bylsma might get fired. I got to be honest, I did not think that was the case because I still think even though Pittsburgh got knocked out in a sweep at the hands of the Boston Bruins, that I still think Bylsma was one of the top coaches in the league with the things he was able to do with Crosby being out. Malkin was out for a while. Letang was out. Players were dropping like flies. And he still kept them as one of the top teams in the NHL.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I honestly was like 50-50. I thought, yeah, they could get rid of him, but they're probably going to stick with him. But I think that they are going to make at least possibly a goalie move. I mean, Fleury used to be their go-to guy, but he really had a rough time in the playoffs. So Pittsburgh's got some decisions to make this summer, and they've obviously made one or two with Malkin and with their coach, and they're sticking with both those guys. So, yeah, I think he's a great coach, and I don't think Pittsburgh's just going to can him after one or two bad years in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But he's a talented guy. He'll be around for a little bit longer.
Yeah, I don't anticipate him going anywhere. I got to tell you, if he got fired by the Penguins, he would be picked up by somebody else so fast it would make your head spin. I bet the Rangers would love to have had him.
Yeah,
as well as I'm sure Vancouver would have tried to get him.
That might be even a bigger reason why they kept him in the first place. Yeah, you know, he's good. He might not be the perfect guy for the job, but we don't want to go against him. You know, the Rangers are looking for somebody else too. So that might have been in their mind as well. We can't let him go and test out the free market. We got to keep him for our team.
That's a good point. That's an interesting point. If no one else in whatever the new division is going to be called was looking for a new head coach, I don't know if they necessarily would have made the change either way, but I do think that he would have got picked up real quick. Another player news, Detroit's Pavel Datsyuk signed a 3-year extension worth a total of $22.5 million. Logan Couture, who I've always kind of hoped would come and play for the Capitals, signed a 5-year extension with San Jose worth a total of $30 million. San Jose has also extended the contract of head coach Todd McClellan. Los Angeles signed defenseman Slava Voynov to a 6-year extension. This guy had a ridiculous playoffs before LA got knocked out. His extension is worth a reported total of $25 million. Philadelphia, this surprised me. Philadelphia traded for and then signed Mark Streit, formerly of the Islanders, to a 4-year, $21 million contract. I'm not really sure why they went and picked him up and paid him that much money for 4 years, $21 million, but it's Philly. With all the cap problems they have, this move made no sense to me. Dallas, this is another interesting move. Dallas traded for Sergei Gonchar, formerly of the Ottawa Senators, and then signed him to a 2-year, $10 million contract. Even though he's pretty close to the end of his career, he still certainly got paid and will be playing for Dallas next season. Nashville extended defenseman Roman Josi to a 7-year, $28 million contract. They didn't want to get any bidding wars like they had to do with Shea Weber and Ryan Suter last year. And in buyout news, it certainly sounds like Philadelphia is going to be buying out center Danny Briere after all of his injuries and his huge cap hit and all the cap problems that Philadelphia is going to be having this offseason. It certainly sounds like Danny Briere is on his way out. And another salary cap news regarding the Philadelphia Flyers, it sounds like they're actually going to be hanging on to Ilya Bryzgalov. I think everyone thought that he was going to be on his way out of town, but they decided to keep him around. Not really sure why, because it sounds like they were going to go after Jonathan Bernier out in Los Angeles. Everyone thought they were going to go after him. They also traded for Steve Mason from Columbus, but they're going to be hanging on to Bryzgalov. So that's a bit of a surprising move there. Yeah. In coaches getting fired abruptly news, Edmonton actually fired head coach Ralph Kruger after one season and announced the hiring of Dallas Eakins. I believe they actually announced the hiring the day after. I think Eakins was getting a lot of press from a lot of other teams. It looked like he was going to go and coach for somebody else, and Edmonton got nervous and actually ended up bringing him in real quick to coach the Oilers. Calgary's Mika Kiprusoff is actually leaning towards retiring, according to NHL.com. this would be pretty interesting. I think this is interesting news, especially for the Washington Capitals, because Calgary, if Kiprusoff ends up retiring, will be in the market for a new goalie. I think that's a possibility for the Caps to move out Michael Neuwirth. St. Louis, Florida, Andy McDonald has announced his retirement after 685 games in the NHL. He's had concussion problems, I believe, last season, and ended up having to retire. Former Vancouver coach Alain Vigneault is expected to be announced on Friday as the next head coach of the New York Rangers. Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty interesting having him in the same division, whatever it may be called, next season with the Capitals. Joe Sakic, the new executive vice president of the Colorado Avalanche, came out and said that they will not use their first-round pick on talented defenseman, and I believe Denver native Seth Jones. I think that caught a lot of NHL people by surprise. Today, the NHL general managers voted in favor of the recommendations made by the NHL Competition Committee. I believe we talked about that in a previous episode. Two of the more interesting notes are the mandatory use of visors for all players entering the league, as well as those who have played fewer than 26 games in the NHL. The other one was hybrid icing. That'll be a possibility for next season. The NHL Board of Governors will have to vote in favor of these, as well as that will be followed by a vote by the players. This will all be done before the end of the preseason. There's a couple other interesting rules that may go into effect for next season regarding penalties and the possibility for shallower nets. You can find out more information about that on NHL.com. In some sad news, Edmonton prospect Christian Pelz passed away last Saturday after going missing in his native of Latvia. This was actually announced soon after it was known that Dallas prospect Scott Winkler had passed away on Thursday. Scotia Place in Ottawa will be renamed the Canadian Tire Center starting July 1st. I kind of like Scotiabank Place better just because it kind of rolls off the tongue better, except for apparently when I'm saying it. The Canadian Tire Center, I don't know, just doesn't seem to work quite as well. I don't like it as much. Whatever, doesn't matter. Silly news. And actually, there have been rumors. I thought this was pretty interesting. There have been rumors the NHL has been talking with Seattle about the possibility of relocating the Coyotes. I actually thought this was kind of funny, since Seattle was rumored to be getting the Sacramento Kings, and then like out of nowhere, the Kings end up staying in Sacramento. But you know what? As a consolation prize, I guess, you may get an NHL franchise.
Congrats.
Yeah, good for you. You actually get a sport that's more fun to watch. I don't know if you caught this, but this is sort of related to the Stanley Cup Finals. But after the Kings got knocked out by Chicago, their Twitter, whoever is controlling their Twitter, actually came out with a pretty good joke. They actually tweeted to the Penguins asking them if they wanted to go out and grab a drink. I thought that was really funny. Considering, I mean, it's not exactly like a shot at them because they also just had just gotten knocked out. So whoever is handling their Twitter account, like, thumbs up, dude. That was really funny. And some last little bit of NHL news for me. It's some CHL news. It's the Canadian Hockey League. Their import draft has changed their rules. The 60 teams that make up the CHL, which is the Ontario Hockey League, the Western Hockey League, and the Quebec Major Juniors Hockey League, will have a two-round draft enabling them to select the best European-born players. Each team will be restricted to two European players on their roster. Now, these teams will only be allowed to select a goalie in the first round in 2013, and in 2014, teams will not be allowed to select a goalie at all. Now, this ban will not apply to European goalies already playing in one of the leagues. The quote from the CHL president, David Branch, is, "The goaltender position is the most important in our game. In partnership with Hockey Canada, the CHL has identified the need to further develop Canadian goaltenders by providing increased opportunities for them to compete in our league and succeed at the next level. The CHL will continue to be the world's largest development league and the number one supplier of talent to the National Hockey League," okay, you're right, first of all, "and Canadian inter-university sport." According to the NHL.com article, the move is seen by some as a response to Canada's inability to develop top goalies. They noted this as this is the first time that all three finalists for the Vezina have been European born. Now, I don't know how you feel about this, but I think this is kind of silly. If you want to be one of the top developmental leagues in the world, and you call yourselves a number one supplier of talent to the National Hockey League, then I think you should bring in the best players from all over the world. If you want to develop better Canadian players, you got to get them when they're younger and you can keep them. If they're some of the best players in the world, they'll be playing in your league. You don't really see a lot of the top Canadian players going over and playing in the Russian junior leagues or anything like that. That is all of the interesting NHL news I have found from the past 2 weeks.
All right, well, that's pretty much it for the show. It's taken us a few tries, but it looks like we're finally at the end. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Of course, you can tune into every episode, because who actually tunes in anymore? It's 2013. You download things. Download them via iTunes or on Stitcher. Make sure if you download the show on iTunes, you leave us an iTunes review. It kind of helps us climb the ladder in the iTunes world, helps us get recognized a little bit more. If you are an Android user, of course, you can listen to us on Stitcher. Just search What the Puck Podcast, and we'll come up, and you can set us as one of your favorite stations. Now, we bring you this show completely for free close to every single week, and we're giving you your freedom of speech by listening to the show. Most important thing you can do is let people know about What the Puck. Tell them that you enjoy it. Let them know just by telling them or texting them, or get social on the web. Let them know on Facebook, on Tumblr, on Pinterest, on Twitter, on Vine, on Get Glue. We're not a check-in, but write us in. Maybe we could be at one point. I don't know what else is even out there, but if you're social, no matter what you do, on Instagram even, take a picture of your screen, show What the Puck the logo, let us know that you're there. Now, you can tweet to us personally as well as the show. The show is at @WTP_podcast, or you can follow me on Twitter at @BrandoCash, and Coach Dan, he's on Twitter as well. Where can people follow you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at WTPCoachAm. You can also find me on CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals. I've been working on a new article I hope to have out in the next week or two. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
That's right. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like the network over there. Good news if you're a Baltimore Ravens fan. The call will be coming back very shortly. The Ravens had their mini camp last week. Josh and I are figuring out a time when we're both available and we can talk about what's going on with the Baltimore Ravens. But more shows will be coming out for the call. And the other shows, just let everybody know, we are no longer with Podbean.com. I think what pretty much happens is it goes until the end of the year where we started each show. So they're going to be trickling away. So make sure you download the episodes that you liked of our past shows of Poe's Peep Show, Work Shooter, the Brando Cash Show, because they're going away because we weren't really happy with what Podbean was providing anymore. And we're kind of transitioning. So hopefully some new content will be coming in a new location. But best way to stay up to date is, of course, going to Facebook.com/BrandoCash and liking the page over there, or following me on Twitter @BrandoCash. So that's pretty much it for What the Puck tonight. I hope you enjoyed our awards. Let us know if you agree with them, and we'll find out. We'll be talking next week about who's actually going to be the Stanley Cup champion. So until then, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.
For my diggest, Jesus, that was vulgar.
I like how last time we didn't have any outtakes. We're definitely having some today. Well, Hershey, after not bringing back Mark French, actually went out and they announced that they have hired Mac. Let me try that one again because I butchered his name. Each team will be, however.
Make sure if you're in iTunes. Jeez, what the hell was that?
Sorry, I knocked something over. my bad. I had, I have a bowl here, and then I knocked the fucking spoon.